What a beautiful venue here. Bank of New Hampshire stage next to the Capitol Center for the Arts. We are live. It is our Veterans Town Hall 2024 Candidates Forum. Simple goal this morning, folks, for the next 3 hours. We could talk about the summit in San Francisco. We could talk about the latest in the war between Israel and Hamas. We can talk about inflation. We can talk about retail pricing, Biden, Trump, you name it, all the above. But let's talk about veterans. What a novel concept for 3 hours. It's our Veterans Town Hall Forum. Simple goal. How do we elevate veterans issues federally with elected officials and locally? I think locally we've done a pretty darn good job, but federally too often in Congress. And by the way, when's the last time you've watched a national media interview, or a debate where the moderator asked one of the presidential candidates a question about veterans care, mental health care? Would it surprise you that this year alone, the Liberty House in Manchester, wonderful facility, has had 2,200 veteran visit needs for things like clothing and food? That's in New Hampshire, 2,200 this year. To me, that sucks. We need to do better. Mental health, physical support, financial support. So this morning we have a stacked show for you. We have some of the candidates running for governor, including sitting here on stage with us, former U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte, Republican candidate for governor, Senator Chuck Morse on deck, Governor Ron DeSantis, Governor Chris Sununu, Nikki Haley, to name a few, Chris Christie, Vivek Ramaswamy, Representative Chris Pappas will be joining us talking about veterans care at all levels. Let's get it going. And again, we're live, and we thank our friends at Bank of New Hampshire. This wonderful stage and facility, wonderful place. All right, former Senator Kelly Ayotte, thanks so much for being with us.
I'm glad to be with you, Jack. You can see my voice is like Lauren Bacall today, but I love our veterans, and I'm so glad you're doing this radio show today because, as you know, I come from a military family. I've got a daughter at the Air Force Academy. My husband was an A-10 pilot, but we don't elevate veterans issues enough. And from my perspective, we need to be the most veteran-friendly state in the nation where veterans are welcomed here and that they know that they will get the support they need, the elevation they need, the great jobs that they've all earned serving our nation and defending us.
We have two wars in the world right now. Less than 1% serve 330 million Americans. Why are veterans not more front and center on a national stage, national media, national politicians, Congress? Why are veterans, I mean, do you know that a veteran can't even get oral health surgery just because of a glitch in Congress? The VA won't cover it. Why do we not do a better job in your mind?
In my mind, Jack, it is less than 1% of our nation that's defending the rest of us. And so I think that we need to be the strong voice for them because they are the elite group. They're the real heroes. We have our freedom. We have our rights because of them. And so all of us, whatever position we're in, we need to elevate veterans' issues. And I wish on these debates we would hear questions about what are you going to do for our veterans to make sure that they get the care, the support, and most of all, that we thank them for what they've done and earned for defending our nation.
Well, you and I know that, and I've moderated presidential debates, that the moderator likes to stir it up. They like a fight. They like the media, the ratings. So they'll Trump Biden, you know, Trump lost, you know, whatever. And they won't just come out and say, we have a mental health crisis, mental health care crisis in America. And veterans are not immune from that. And by the way, and Phil Taub, one of our great sponsors, Swim with a Mission, will tell us some numbers in a moment. How many veterans since 9/11 in New Hampshire have taken their own lives? So many of these people with such a few recruitment number, many of these families, like look at the soldier we just lost, the Night Stalker from Gorham, New Hampshire, in a training accident in the Mediterranean. They do multiple deployments. And they come home banged up and dinged up emotionally and physically, and they sometimes sort of turn inwards, and they're not real good at asking for help. How do we get to them? How do we raise? Why don't more people give a damn? I don't get it. Not you. I'm just saying.
No, Jack, you're right. We need to reach out to them, and I think when they're deployed, we can't wait for them. We have to literally say when they come home, not only thank you, but check in on them, their families, make sure that we're supporting them. Also, the support of fellow veterans, Phil Taub knows that, you know, the camaraderie and connecting veterans with other veterans. And we have many veterans in our state, but making sure all of the veterans organizations and all of the services are working together, but we're not waiting for the veterans to come to us. We reach out to them.
Yeah. You know what else I worry about? And I'm not going to get into the universities, especially some of the Ivy League colleges. My late dad went to one, but that's what it is. My point is, I think there's something else going on, too. And one reason I want to do this show is I think too often a young person thinking of joining the military, unless they come from a family, like your daughter you mentioned, what's their driver if people aren't going to take care of them after? I mean, people talk about entitlement. Where's mine? Where's my Medicare? Where's my slice of pizza? But with veterans, they earned it, right? So how do we get young people to join if they feel after they've been in there, I come out, they're not there? And, you know, just in New Hampshire, law enforcement, state police, we have like 80 openings to become a New Hampshire state trooper. It's a noble, honorable career. So I worry that sometimes young people have been told, oh, this country, we're not a great country. The military is the problem. We're the oppressor. Police are bad. And after a while, young people are like, why should they want to serve?
Jack, I worry about this too. We need to elevate service at every level because it's service that makes this nation great. And whether it's our men and women in uniform that are out defending us, on our college campuses, our young people need to understand that there's huge value and you have such a sense of purpose when you have the opportunity to be part of something bigger than yourself. Our law enforcement, the same thing. We have to have their backs. And unfortunately, I think the media often highlights, you know, that one case instead of talking about what the 99.9% are doing, who are phenomenal. Mm-hmm. In law enforcement, our men and women in uniform, we don't even understand all that they are doing because they're overseas right now.
Right.
And they have our backs.
Right.
And we need to highlight that because
Their families are home.
Their families got
while they're yeah.
Exactly. Families,
you know,
serve too. And we need to reach out to the family. Anyone who knows a military family, make sure you check in with them too, because they're holding down the fort while their loved ones are out defending our nation.
Yeah. Real quick, we're going to let you go as you have an event in Nashville. We're going to bring on former Senate President Chuck Morse, Republican candidate for governor as well, and former Senate candidate. But real quickly, when you were in the United States Senate with your colleagues, I know you voted on some veteran stuff, but did you hear, like, members of Congress saying, hey, we need to do a better job taking care of our veterans, or was it kind of just taken for granted the VA had that?
No, Jack. I remember when they were going to cut COLA benefits. I literally had to hold things up. I had to protest. You have to highlight these issues. And so few members have actually served in the Congress.
Right, right.
So to me, it's elevating veterans. And, you know, you have to bring it to people's attention. But you're right. More of our leaders need to understand why we have our freedom, why we have our rights, why they're actually able to serve down there, because of the men and women in uniform who have given their lives and continue to serve every day for us.
Well, thank you. On the state level, you've served in the federal, former U.S. Senator Kelly Ayotte, Republican gubernatorial candidate right now as well. We're going to let you go for the event in Nashville. Thanks for joining us, our Veterans Town Hall 2024 Candidates Forum, brought to you by Laconia Harley-Davidson, Swim of the Mission, Outdoor Pride, and these wonderful flags, wooden flags made by veterans, flags of valor. We have a beautiful Israeli flag off to one side, American flag. Thank you. We're talking veterans issues. We'll be back with former state Senate President Chuck Morse, Republican candidate, a little bit later on. Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley this hour. Good morning, New Hampshire, the pulse of an age. Bank of New Hampshire stage, Jack Heath, back in a flash. Bank of New Hampshire stage, Capital Center for the Arts, and what a facility. And thank you so much. And our friends with Swim of the Mission, Phil Taub and the team, Outdoor Pride, and Laconia Harley-Davidson. Former Senate President Chuck Morse, before we bring in the governor from Florida, Governor DeSantis, Republican presidential candidate. By the way, I think the only veteran of combat duty that is running and has served, but we'll come back to that with the governor. Real quickly, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here, Jack. This is actually an honor to be here to help veterans, because I think we only do it 2 days a year, and that's really not the right way to do it.
Well, that's the point of my 3 hours. We have several guests. You're former Senate president. You ran for the U.S. Senate. You're running for governor. How do we do a better job? I think we're doing better in New Hampshire. I want to be more, as Phil Taub will say, veteran, the most veteran-friendly state in America. But how do we do better? I don't see the national moderators asking DeSantis or Haley or any of them a veterans question. I don't see it being front and center in Congress. How do we raise veterans' issues? Less than 1% serve. We have a mental health crisis. The veterans are not getting the support physically, financially, and otherwise. They earned it.
Yeah, I think the state of New Hampshire has always been a state, though, that's led by example. You know, you could take something as simplistic as skiing, but we had a Sununu that used to go ski so that we could promote it, right? We have to do the same with veterans, and I think the veterans recognize that. I mean, when I ran last time, they talked about the fact of all the things that we've accomplished in New Hampshire. Through the presidency, I promoted that. But, you know, I grew up with a dad that was 100% deaf, that was a veteran. And, you know, I know what the disabilities are like.
But how do we get the stakeholders, federally and statewise, across this country, to finally realize that we're taking veterans for granted? We have two wars going on in the world. We just lost a Night Stalker special operations member from Gorham in that Mediterranean helicopter Black Hawk accident. How do we take better care of the families and the veterans? What do we expect? They're always going to be there? I mean, less than 1% serve.
No, well, I think we have to make it clear, Jack, during my time period of serving as Senate President, we had a lot of young people pass away in wars. And I think what happened in New Hampshire is we united people, and you saw young people, old people standing on the side of the streets with flags and promoting the fact that we support these people. We have to do that every day of the year in New Hampshire.
What about Congress? You know, you haven't served there. You did run for the Senate. You're running for governor. But how do we do a better job in Congress? I mean, you just heard former Senator Kelly Ayotte sitting here saying that she had to fight every time a veterans issue came up.
Yeah, I think the best way we can do that, because New Hampshire has, you know, the first in the nation primary, ask those questions. I mean,
well, that's why we're doing a three-hour show today.
Governor DeSantis being on here is a great thing. Let's have that conversation, you know, talking to someone that served. I think that's an important part of what we do here in New Hampshire. And if it's only eight or nine times we see candidates, eight or nine times we should be asking them.
So now you're playing host of my show. Let's do it. Let's bring on the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, our Veterans Town Hall Forum. Governor, thanks for being on, and thank you for your service in the Navy.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great to be with you. And I think you're asking the right questions. I appreciate New Hampshire's done some good things. So congratulations to you guys. We're proud of what we've done in Florida. I mean, in Florida, we really make it so that this is the most veteran-friendly state in the country. For example, anybody serving active duty is eligible either for themselves or their kids for in-state tuition at our universities. We had K-12 scholarships for children of active duty service members. We have programs to be able to integrate veterans into teaching, into a whole host of our industries in the state of Florida, because we understand not only did they serve for us, and we owe them a debt of gratitude, these are people that are huge contributors to our society. People want to have veterans involved in all this, so we're proud of that. I think going forward, though, the biggest hurdle that I see is bureaucracy. You look at the VA, you look at some of this stuff, and it's mind-numbing, and a lot of times the veterans can't pierce through that. So we're going to take, when I go to Washington, we're going to take a model that we did in Florida for our welfare and create a portal where all these veterans groups, charities, corporations, right, individuals, churches, synagogues can plug in. You go into the VA, your needs are there. Maybe the VA helps, but all these other people are getting that too. And I guarantee you the veterans are going to be helped more by those groups that are by and large private. And we have them specifically for veteran suicide. We have them for job training. We have right, all this stuff. There's so much goodwill out there. The job of government needs to be linking the veteran to everything out there. I think the VA is such a big bureaucracy. Yes, we'll bring accountability. We're going to fire a lot of these bureaucrats, but I don't think that's enough. I think you got to harness all this energy outside the government context.
Senator Morris, question for Governor DeSantis.
Yeah, Governor, you've done a great job working with your legislature down in Florida. How do you see that happening in Washington? Because it doesn't seem like they're accomplishing anything in the House and the Senate down there, and we need leadership.
Well, you're right, and you guys have done a good job in New Hampshire, and especially given what you've done in a pretty difficult region of the country with New England. I don't think any other state has stood for freedom in New England like you guys have, so congratulations. Look, it's not about me as the executive. And it isn't even about those legislators. It's about doing things that resonate with the American people. And the reason why we were able to get so much done in Florida is because our vision was resonating with Floridians. They were telling these representatives and senators, yes, we need to do that. And if you look, President Reagan was able to go over the heads of the Congress. He had a Democrat House all 8 years, and yet he was able to do. And, yes, it was a little bit different time I concede that. But I think what they're doing is they get in their cocoon up there, and they're not speaking to the issues that the American people really care about. But I also understand we want to do things to help them, too. I mean, I tell my legislators, if there are things important to you, I want to be an advocate for you. So tell me what you want. You're supporting my stuff. I want to support your stuff. You got to be willing to work with people. And the other thing I figured out doing this is, you know, we live in a divided society. In Florida, I think we united people 60-40 in ways people didn't think were possible. But you and I may agree on one issue, Chuck, and we'll work together. Maybe tomorrow we'll disagree. But then we got to be willing to go back to third issue if we agree and put that other difference aside right. and be able to get things done. So it's ultimately about results. That's the only thing right. we're going to be judged by.
Governor, real quickly, and then Phil Tobbs here, our sponsor of Swim with a Mission. But real quickly, with Chuck, Senator Morse here, you just did a debate, Governor, just a week or two ago before Veterans Day, right? The last big debate on stage.
Yeah.
Did the national media, did the moderators ask you a question about veterans?
No. And, you know, look, I think by and large that debate was professionally done. We were concerned with NBC that it would be all these really left-wing questions. But I think they rehashed a lot of questions that have already been asked in some of these things and that we've all answered multiple times, not only on the debate stage, but in interviews. And so there's issues like veterans that have just totally fallen by the wayside because it's not something that I think the national media really gravitates to. I mean, as you guys know, post 9/11, we didn't have a draft. You had the same people deploying over and over again, a very small segment of our society. There are a lot of communities in this country that were not even impacted by the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan just because they didn't have people necessary. That would not have happened in Vietnam or Korea or, right. or World War II, where that impacted every community. So all volunteer force, small number of people pulling the load here, and I think that's part of the reason why it just doesn't register with some of these national media people.
Governor DeSantis. This is Phil Taub. Great to have you on Jack's show. Appreciate you joining in. So you're the only combat veteran running for president right now, and I've heard you speak about veterans. I've heard you talk about the overprescription of drugs, the rising veteran suicide rate. Question I have for you is, instead of leaving all this to the VA and a bunch of veteran service groups, can we get our military, the active duty military, to focus on reducing veteran suicide?
I think there's a role for that. I mean, I think one of the things that struck me being in like Iraq, for example, is you'd be at like an LZ getting ready to get on a helicopter and there'd be Marines, soldiers. These enlisted guys were on their third or fourth deployment in like a matter of 5 or 6 years, 4 years even. And that's not normal. And so I knew that there was going to be a big burden that they were going to carry later on in their lives. And so when you look at things like post-traumatic stress, these are things that before they even leave active duty are going to be an issue. So you got to do a better job there. But I'll tell you this, the best I've seen deal with it is not the VA. VA just prescribes a lot of drugs. It's these private groups. We have a group in Florida called Canines for Warriors. They have these specially trained service dogs that they pair with veterans with post-traumatic stress. The dogs understand the symptoms, and they can alleviate them with the companionship. The right. suicide rate is almost zero. When you have that. In fact, they went years without having a single suicide with veterans that were paired with these dogs. And so that is something the VA was stubborn. They wouldn't even acknowledge that. Finally, Congress got them to do something and at least acknowledge that. But here's the thing. You don't even need government for that. If the VA can just pair the veteran with these groups, they're all over the country.
Right.
There's a huge amount of stuff. And the other thing I'd say is important is we want to harness volunteers, individual Americans. The veterans having a hard time, you just show, and they go in for help, you just show up at their house, talk, hey, I want to talk to you, I want to thank you for your service, here, let me go buy you a cup of coffee. Things like right. that can go a long way.
But Governor, I'm going to let you go on this, and you mentioned the canine program. We have seen here, Phil, you and I have seen, maybe Chuck, you've seen what these canines can do, literally save lives. Why that is not a budget line item in the VA is beyond me. It takes 25 or 40 grand sometimes to train these dogs and pair them up with the right veteran. Jack, that should be a mandatory VA option.
How about this for a crazy idea? Every time the government gives $1 billion contract to BAE or L3 or one of the other big groups, they have to take a percentage of that and support the canine programs in the local
makes sense,
communities.
But you
how
bring,
crazy is that?
You bring it up and someone will say why you can't. Final comment from Senator Morse before we let Governor DeSantis enjoy that warmer weather. I don't know where he is.
Well, Governor, We welcome you to New Hampshire, and we thank you for supporting First in the Nation primary, and anything you can do to help us encourage people to support the veterans, we appreciate. So keep it up.
And now January 23rd.
Yeah, we're going to be back in New Hampshire next week on Tuesday, so we look forward. Maybe we'll run into you guys, and you'll see us a lot over these next 60, 70 days. You can bet your bottom dollar on that.
Governor DeSantis, again, thank you. A lot of people don't know, Lieutenant Commander, I believe, in the Navy. Thank you for your service.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Welcome back. And if you're just joining us, it is a live Good Morning New Hampshire from the Bank of New Hampshire stage, Capital Center for the Arts. But, you know, instead of talking about the latest between Israel and Hamas, the president's summit meeting with the leader of China, inflation, divisiveness, we're trying to come together today. We're trying to come together on veterans issues for 3 hours, my veterans town hall, trying to raise the issue with federal candidates in 2024 for president and Congress, as well as state office seekers. We just had two of the Republican gubernatorial candidates in person, former Senator Kelly Ayotte, Chuck Morse, former Senate president. We're going to hear from some of the other Democrats running. But someone who's always been steadfast on this show with me, and I mean this sincerely, not we're trying to be nonpartisan today, but more tuned in than most is my humble opinion on veterans issues and how do we raise veteran advocacy, veteran concerns for things like mental health, physical support, more canines for emotional support in Congress and in the White House. How do we do this? Less than 1% serve. Representative Chris Pappas, Democrat, 1st Congressional District, joining us live. Good morning, New Hampshire, our Veterans Town Hall. Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Jack. Good morning, and thanks for putting this together. I think it's critically important that as we have these conversations about the issues that matter, that there's a focus on issues that pertain to veterans, service members, and their families. So I'm really grateful for your continued leadership and advocacy. It's making a difference.
Well, you're on a key committee. We heard Senator Ayotte say when she was in the Senate, not the House, Congressman, it was hard for her sometimes on veterans issues to kind of raise the alarm. How do you feel? Congress is so divisive these days. It's one side versus the other. I mean, they were almost fisticuffs the other day. How do we just say less than 1% serve? Let's come together. What do we need to pass? What do we need to modify? How do we thin the red tape? Do you feel that priority in Congress?
It's a definite priority, and I think that my colleagues on both sides of the aisle in the House Veterans Affairs Committee treat these issues as nonpartisan issues. I mean, we walk through the door of the committee room as Americans first, and that's exactly the way it should be when we're thinking about how we honor the service of our veterans and their family members who have sacrificed so much for our country. We've got about 100,000 veterans in New Hampshire. You know all the issues that veterans struggle with on a day-to-day basis, and it just continues to frustrate me that there are veterans out there that are fighting for their health care, that are fighting to get access to benefits when they've already fought for our country and put so much on the line to defend our freedoms and what America is all about. So that's where I think we need to continue to find common ground and come together. And I think you've highlighted some incredible ways on your show that the people of New Hampshire are stepping up in this fight. The good decisions and solutions just don't come from Washington and the Department of Veterans Affairs. They come from the ground up in communities across New Hampshire. You've highlighted things like Swim with a Mission, which is galvanizing tremendous support to invest in charities that support veterans. It's making a difference in people's lives. I was out at Independence Hall in Manchester, which is a facility that was constructed and is maintained by Arbor Care. They do a great job at providing transitional right. housing for veterans who are at risk of being homeless or who are out on the streets, and one homeless veteran is too many. So I think that there's a real seriousness with which most members of Congress approach these issues. Unfortunately, the focus sometimes is on the fisticuffs and right. the division, not where we're getting things done. But just look at the last few years. PACT Act passed, which was the biggest expansion of benefits for toxic exposed veterans. That's about 3 million veterans that are getting access to care, thousands in New Hampshire that have already filed claims, and it's not too late for veterans to do right. that. And, you know, we've got a lot of issues on the healthcare side at the Manchester VA. We know it. Investing in infrastructure is critical. Bringing in more community providers is critical. And I think there's great consensus on these issues. We just have to hold the department to account and continue to push the envelope.
And yet, Representative Pappas, I learned last week, Liberty House, you're familiar with it, Manchester. This year alone, 2,200 veterans have required some degree of transitional housing, clothing, or food mm-hmm. In Manchester. Phil Tops, one of the mission for the congressman.
Congressman Pappas, thank you for the very kind words about Swim with a Mission and recognizing all the work we're doing. We're trying as much as we can, but I want to ask you about the VA and just tell you a real quick story. The VA, as you know, came out with the new 988 suicide hotline number and push one for veterans, which was a great idea because nobody could remember the number before. And this came out last June, as you know, and I contacted them last September, and I said, you know, nobody in New Hampshire knows about the new 988 number. Let's work together. Swim with a Mission, the VA, we're going to get the word out there. And I put a poster together, and I tried to get the VA to help me. Let's get the word out. And I wanted to put their name on the poster. And while I've been waiting for them, with the help of Eddie Edwards, our safety commissioner, deputy safety commissioner, I got it out. I put it up at all the emergency rooms. We put it up at the DMV. We put it up at all the liquor stores. Mm-hmm. We're putting it up at all the gun stores. And here we are a year and 3 months later. I still haven't heard back from the VA, and I've yet to see them do any marketing whatsoever. The VA is filled with great, amazing people that want to help our veterans, but the bureaucracy is killing them. Yeah. Can we do anything about that?
Well, I would agree with that, and I think too often the end veteran gets lost in the shuffle over there. And it's our nation's largest healthcare provider. It's a huge bureaucracy. I tend to think that the folks at the Manchester VA tend to be more receptive. We're happy to work with you on that to make sure that you're getting through, because it's about being there at the right place at the right time for the veteran when they need the help, and making sure that we're drawing attention to this great resource that is there that is going to save veterans' lives and lower the rate of suicide, which we know takes 20 lives a day from veterans and service members. We've got to do everything we can. So we're happy to partner with you on that, Phil. And thank you for all your work. It's making a difference, Phil.
And thank you for that, Congressman. Real quickly, Phil, since 9/11, how many New Hampshire service members have taken their lives? Listen to this one.
Well, the way I like to frame this, and you were talking about Staff Sergeant Tanner Groen, I appreciate that, a night stalker who lost his life in service. So that means that since the war on terror started, we've now lost 94 of our own in service, right, downrange or in accidents. But unfortunately, and in that same period of time, we have lost more than 800 of our own that came back to New Hampshire safely.
In New Hampshire.
And have taken their own lives.
Yeah. Quietly, sadly, 800. Phil, hold the thought. Congressman, thanks for the time. Congressman Pappas, will catch you real soon. Thank you for joining our Veterans Town Hall.
Thank you. All the best.
When we come back, former governor of South Carolina, Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley on deck next. Our Veterans Town Hall live from the Bank of New Hampshire stage in Concord. Back in a minute. Live Veterans Town Hall. We have several of the presidential candidates in 2024, statewide, federal candidates, local candidates for governor, all in the next 3 hours. And here's the deal. Again, there's a lot of topical stuff I talk about each morning on my show, the latest retail prices, inflation. Two wars in the world, Israel, Hamas, the president meeting with the leader of China, all these things that can divide us or be divisive. What unites us? Here's a quiz question for the morning. We're in the live free or die state. Why the heck, even on Ivy League campuses, can't we agree that freedom doesn't suck? Freedom is a good thing. Being free is an enviable, wonderful thing. Who keeps us free? Less than 1% serve. There was just a Republican presidential debate. I just asked Governor DeSantis this question a week or so ago before Veterans Day, 2 days before Veterans Day. 2 days before Veterans Day, you have this stage of Republican presidential candidates. Not one question on veterans asked by the national media. You know why? It's not sexy. It doesn't start a fight. It's not about Trump or Biden. Let's talk about veterans. Our next guest, of course, we have our guest here live, the former governor of South Carolina, former ambassador to the UN, Republican presidential candidate, Nikki Haley, who, by the way, her significant other half, because she's the better half, as she told me once in our studio, serving. Thank you for his service and your service. Governor Haley, thank you. How do we make veterans' issues matter more in Congress and in this country?
Well, thank you, Jack, for always keeping veterans top of mind. I think it's so important that we honor them and their family's sacrifice. You know, my parents always taught me you take care of those who take care of you. And if you look right now, I'll ask all of your listeners, are we taking care of those who take care of us? 33,000 of our heroes are homeless in America. 1 in 3 suffers from PTSD or thoughts of suicide. We lose 22 heroes a day to suicide. If a veteran needs to go to the doctor's appointment, on average, it takes 29 days. Why 29 days? Because on the 30th day, they can go to the doctor or hospital of their choice. So midway through the 29 days, they get a phone call to reschedule. and the clock starts all over again. It's shameful how we treat our veterans. What we need to remember is really look at what they and their families go through. You know, when my husband deployed to Afghanistan, we were blessed when he came home. It was truly a blessing. But the hard part's when we actually got home. He couldn't hear loud noises. He couldn't be in crowds. Life had passed him by for the year that he was gone, and the transition was tough. We can't just love our men and women when they're gone. We got to love them when they come back home, too. And the way I think we should do that, and we push this hard, not just in the Granite State, but all over the country, is let's focus on that transition. Let's help these men and women get through that. Let's do telehealth so that they can get the mental health care they need right when they need it. Let's make sure that they go to the doctor or nurse of their choice because they've earned that right. And I'll tell you how we'll deal with our veteran health care. I think every member of Congress should have to get their health care from the VA. And you watch how fast they fix it for our veterans.
But Governor Haley, we have a couple of great leading veteran advocates on stage with me. Phil Tobbs, Swim with the Mission, Jay Lucas, Flags of Valor. We have a beautiful Israeli flag, wooden flag carved by veterans, and an American flag here, plus Children of Fallen Patriots. But before I turn to you two, I just want to ask the governor, all those numbers you just gave, Governor Haley, all those numbers on suicide, how many are homeless, those are the numbers that we know.
Right.
And what I worry about is what veterans are out there that we don't know, that are not on a statistical sheet somewhere, that are living alone or living with a family or by, you know, a couple, and they're not communicating, and they're turning inward, and they're dealing with the depression, mental health, anxiety, and they're disconnecting. How do we raise that? In New Hampshire alone, Phil, how many veterans since the war, 9/11, the global war on terror, have taken their own lives that we know about? It's just in New Hampshire.
Yeah, just so for us, it's every 8 days we lose a veteran. So that's in the war on terror, it's more than 800 have come home safely and taken their own lives, Jack.
Well, all right. Questions for Governor Haley.
Yeah, Governor Governor Haley, one of the things this is Jay Lucas, and you know, I admire your commitment to veterans. It's just so vitally important. And I'd be interested in your thoughts on how we actually reach out to some of those with what I call the epidemic of loneliness, that they, when they come back, they're not really connected to other people, and how we might really begin to facilitate that.
Yeah, it's so true, and so many suffer in silence, which is, you know, they want to come back a hero. They want to show that they were tough, and so then to acknowledge that they're having a hard time is a very difficult thing. What we did in South Carolina, and I think that, you know, we should always look at ways to improve it. What we did in South Carolina was instead of focusing on the veterans who may need help, we kind of took another take. We said, let's go and find all the veterans. And we had one of the largest recruitments of veterans to South Carolina because we made sure that we cut taxes for veterans and eliminated tax on their retirement. But one of the things we did was we reached out to all the veterans that we knew through our bases and through what was in our VA, and we offered them skills, job training, and connecting them to companies. We actually went and put that together. We had a whole department where our goal was, how do we match these veterans with jobs? Because when they come back, it's not easy for them just to jump into a job. Not when they've been, you know, they've lived a different life. They don't, in some cases, have the social skills again. It's like being in COVID. Getting started again is very difficult. And so we focused on all outlets of how we could help them connect with those businesses. And through that, then we could help them with mental health services and other things. But I think we have to always look at better ways to improve. And I think we need to be working with our veterans to figure out exactly how to do it. They know if they're asked. They'll tell you if they're asked. We just need to ask them and reach out and say, what else do you need from us?
That is so brilliant, you know, getting them into the flow like that. Phil, I think you have a question.
I do, Governor Haley, and thank you for your family service. Behind every great veteran is a great family that is also serving, and too often we don't focus on that. So thank you for that. I want to talk to you a little bit about the stigma around mental health in the military and then amongst our veterans afterwards. My observation has been that our military is complaining right now that their biggest challenge internally is recruitment, and all the recruitment numbers are down. And then on the other side of that, as you know, suicide amongst our veterans is increasing. It's not flattening. It's not going down. It's actually going up. And right now we sort of rely on the VA, and we rely on a lot of veteran service groups to try and tackle this problem. But what about having the military? I mean, we have the greatest military in the world with enormous resources. How about our military attacking this idea of reducing suicide and reducing the stigma around our active duty military who is suffering?
Well, God bless our veterans groups because they really do amazing work in doing this. But you're right. While we say one in three veterans suffers from PTSD or thoughts of suicide, what we need to remind them is, but if treated, they can live a perfectly normal life. You know, it's not like their life is gone. We just have to help them get back on track. And so I think that the other side you mentioned was recruitment. Think about this. We get, first of all, our recruitment's down 25%. But historically, we have always gotten our new recruits from families who have served. And for the first time in America, we have those in the military telling their kids and grandkids, don't do it. Think about what that says. Don't do it. If they're saying that, that's because they don't think that we have veterans' backs. And I'll ask you, do we? Look at the fact that there have been 100 strikes on our men and women in Iraq and Syria since Biden took office. And now they're talking about 50 strikes in the past month. We should have done something after the first strike. You've got over 60 men and women now that have brain injuries from that. What family member is going to say, go do that? And then when they come home, you know, they're dealing with situations where they can't get the health care they need when they need it, or they don't have the telehealth. If we want to fix our recruitment, the best way to do that is to take better care of our veterans when they come home.
Real quickly, Governor, I just want to ask you, how do we stop in Washington this turf war with federal bureaucracy and in agencies like the VA? Because it just seems to be a wrestling match. Anytime you try and get something innovative, like an entrepreneurial idea through that system, how do we take that red tape out of that system? Because it is such a large federal health care system.
You know, first of all, I think you replace the head of the VA. You send a team in. I did this in South Carolina. You send a team in to clean it up, get out the bureaucracy, get out the old regs, and put in a new modernized mission of taking care of veterans. And that's not just health care. It's partnering. They make military members make the best workers. I used to always have military serve in my cabinet, not generals. I would do colonels. Colonels are always better, but you go and you do that, and they don't ever say no. They say, yes, we'll get it done. Yeah. They are amazing workers. But the thing with Congress is you got to get somebody in there that understands veterans, and you've got to do it from a business perspective. Someone who knows time is money. Someone who understands you want veterans to be able to go to the doctor and hospital of their choice. Yeah. Our job is to make veterans' lives easier, not harder.
I agree,
and you look at the time log, it's ridiculous how much time they have to spend going through paperwork and getting things done.
And waiting, and someone can just walk in and get their care. But you know what? Every time we talk about a business person in politics, the political organ is rejected or rejects that. But thank you, Nikki Haley, Republican presidential hopeful, for joining us in our Veterans Town Hall Live. Thank you, Governor.
God bless you all. Thank you.